Could some of you come in? I know y'all been doing some teaching assignments out there in the important world of children. Let's go ahead and read this case once more of Cliaros. We've covered most of what we want to say about it, but I do want to start there because it will lead in to some of our discussion this morning. Could I get a volunteer to talk, to read for us about the old Cliaros? Thank you, Bill.
Cliaros replaced membership with a group about a year ago coming from an institutional church nearby. Her attendance has been mediocre, and she has very little involvement in church activities or interaction with the elders, except twice when she got behind on her rent and car payment. When you have made efforts to talk to her at the worship services, you found she has complaints about the way things are run. Sermons too long, class segments too short, not enough attention to signals, too little parking, wild kids after church, etc. She comes late and leaves quickly, talking only occasionally with a couple of other singles about her age. Recently you've heard from one of them that Cliaros is thinking about transferring her membership to another church because of the poor leadership and some cold treatment she has received, which she strongly suspects is racially motivated.
All right, so what we're trying to do in this lesson four, is to begin to focus on the work of elders and deal with individual sheep. And we introduced the idea on Wednesday night. These were kind of our three, they're not goals, I could turn them into goals or objectives, but we wanted to express some of the blessings of the role of being an elder. And then we looked to two biblical examples where you could get a little more detail about the work of an elder with an individual. But they were interesting examples because neither one of those men had served as elders. Who are they? Well, there are two examples.
Jesus and Paul.
Again, neither one elders, but Christ describes himself as the good shepherd. Elders are expected to be shepherds. And then Paul actually had a long discussion with elders in which he described his own work that he said ought to serve as an example to them. And so we went through those on Wednesday night. What we're now trying to turn to are a little more practical, real-life situations. And you've dealt with, most of you, with Cliaros before. There is no Cliaros, but she's a composite of a number of different kinds of issues and kind of pretty close to the sort of more challenging individuals that elders might need to deal with. But this lesson, kind of heading up to some things that Larry will talk about on Wednesday, is really meant to kind of open up the screen a little bit, if you will, that door down there on that room with the conference table. You can see a little bit of what's kind of going on behind that door at times when the elders are meeting, we're talking, we're trying to think through different parts of the work. You should understand a lot of that and kind of see some of those real-life situations. And so we'll talk about some of that as we go forward. You've already were challenged by Marty, I know, to kind of think about what you would do with Cliaros. So if you looked at that earlier lesson, it has a number of kind of options for you, like do nothing, or our favorite option always, which is to get the preacher to preach on something. I'll solve most of the problems that you have, even with individual sheep. But I want to just ask you for a moment, what might an elder be tempted, wrongfully tempted, by having to deal with a situation like this with Cliaros? Well, what might be a response, you know, that you just kind of, you feel that you'd like to do? You let your emotions go. What kind of responses are you likely to have toward Cliaros?
Well, this was an employment situation. Good.
Yeah, especially that idea of what is she threatening to do?
Transfer her membership.
Ooh, wouldn't that be great, right? And I know that one of those options was kind of like just kind of hope or let her do that. But there's some implications back to the flock that are important there. But yeah, there is a little bit of this, boy, I just hope that she knows. That's one response. That may not be the worst of what you're tempted to do. How else would you just like to handle it?
The fact that she criticized the leadership, that there might be a retaliation. You know, who do you think you are?
Don't you feel that way? Whenever you're sort of challenged in some way, you feel like you've got to defend yourself. then especially in this case, she's a weak member, you know, and you should know more about what's going on. And she,
yeah. No, I was going to say that's a challenge, right? Because you're supposed to watch out for the soul, so you don't want them to transfer the membership to maybe a more liberal church or something like that, right?
Right. So yeah, that's back to Mike's point.
Yeah, and at the same time, you don't want divisiveness either. In they could spread, right? If she, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to come back to that, Skid. I want to talk a little bit about what the danger is back. Because you're working with the sheep, there's also a little bit of a danger here in the flock. I want to touch on that, y'all.
That you could over-cater to her, complaints. Yeah. As opposed to retaliating, you could do too much to try to like make her feel good.
You know, you can begin to deal more with how to keep children from running through the halls and stuff, or was it too little parking, dealing with a parking situation, and that becomes the essence of your work because somebody's focused attention on that rather than what the real issue is. And by the way, what was the real issue? I think y'all at least got to that point. Right? What is the real issue here?
She doesn't seem to be attending me very frequently, so she doesn't give herself a chance to get to know.
Okay, but is the real issue just simply her attendance?
Go a
little
heart,
bit.
Yeah, it's her heart.
Love for the Lord.
Does she really have the right kind of relationship with God? And that's at the heart of it all. And I know we've talked about this. This is the essence of the work. You know, that the statements that Paul made to those Ephesian elders at the end, what he said was, that it was, you know, more blessed to give than to receive, and then he commanded them that they especially pay attention to those who were weak. That's what Clairaus is. This is the very heart of the work. I think you can be tempted also to just kind of accuse her. You can judge her. Now it may be accurate judgment, but you know how it is with folks. If you just suddenly accuse them, you know, all you care about Clairaus are physical things, then you probably cut off an opportunity to really be influential. But all those kind of swell up within you, this defending of yourself, of your leadership, and all, you've got to fight those things because ultimately what you're trying to do is do something that's effective for the flock. What worries you? Johann mentioned kind of the potential of some disunity here, especially if she like leaves and maybe there's a message back. I think that probably was part of what y'all discussed on Wednesday. What else in this of her comments and things would really worry you, ought to worry you, as an elder, as a potential aspect of disunity or dissatisfaction. What do you see? What has she been saying that I think is...
Well, she could influence the other singles she's associated with.
Yeah, so we know that she's talking to a broader group. What are some of the things that she might be saying based on what you think that you've heard? I don't have the best handle here either, by the way. Unless this is like secondhand. Anything in there really worry you?
The elders on racial preference.
Yes. Yeah. This idea of racism is just, that's a powder keg. You cannot allow that. Number one, you can't be that. And if you are, somewhere or another, it's going to come across. It's just going to be known. You cannot be that kind of person. It's not Christ-like. You've got to work on that. But it's not enough to just say, well, you know, I'm not like that. It's appearances. And it's the things that happen within the congregation that could also send that message, but a very divisive thing. And I'll just mention, I think that's something elders need to be especially sensitive to. You can't always, not a lot sometimes that you can do to it. I do remember quite a number of years ago, not too many years ago, but one of my kids said something that really was probably just stupid. Now, I'll tell you, all three of my kids love everyone. And I appreciate their lack of racism and concern about people's backgrounds and stuff. I think they've kind of proved it even where they're working and the things that they're doing now. But one of them said something that they really shouldn't have said. Kind of a joking situation, a little foolish part. And Bill Christian knew about it and called me. I still remember I'm in the taxi stand with LaGuardia. I'm not very happy with my child. I didn't get to them for 24 hours or so. But the point was, that's so important. You got to watch after those kinds of things. It's something that needed to be dealt with the right way. I appreciate Bill for having mentioned it. And it led to some really good conversations about wisdom and judgment and being careful, not just about being the right person, but about the way things are perceived. Elders should be very careful about that. A lot to worry about kind of coming out of Clairaus. But at the end of it all, again, you said that the issue is her relationship with God, does she really have the right relationship and all? So let's run things back in time to the beginning, as far back as we can go. How could we have helped to have addressed Clearos' situation? Before it becomes all of these things that she's saying, your elders, if you could go back, what would you like to do? How would you like to help Clearos? Y'all actually kind of mentioned some of the things she needed out.
Well, I think it's like you said, when a person, I mean, you never know where she came from or, you know, her life. But when you see people like this, I think you do have to pay more attention.
All right, so you want to pay more attention when? Once she starts to complain and mention all these kinds of things, Danny?
I think when she came to ask the place membership, okay. that kind of opened the door of opportunity for the elders to really explore who she is and to be able to see those warning signs or those weaknesses that existed and then be proactive. How can we help to get others involved in her life to encourage these things,
Yeah, is there something that could have been done earlier on to kind of to have seen some of that? Now, people come to place membership, it's kind of interesting, so we're really transitioning a little bit off of Clearos into this discussion about new members that's in your lesson sheet. And we want to use Clearos to some degree, but we're going to talk about more broadly some other situations as well. Sometimes you've had an opportunity long before somebody kind of whispers to someone else or mentions to somebody and says, you know, I'd like the place membership. You've had an opportunity to get to know them. And have you used that? You know, we have people who visit for quite some time before that. We don't know Clearos' situation. We can't say, you know, did she come and visit for 5 or 6 months? And did you have an opportunity maybe to assess a lot of these things? So when she's ready to place membership, you already got some ideas and something in mind for how to address what you've perceived to be and learned to be some of the weaknesses in her life. Maybe not. Maybe it starts from the very beginning. But yeah, when she placed membership is definitely a time to identify, to try to understand what's going on in her life and to begin to make some connections for her with others as well as you that might have helped to address some of these. So let's think about just a little bit. Here's some questions for you, elders out there. Now, someone has come and they want to place membership. What are some things that you would really like to know about them? In the perfect kind of world here, as they step forward and they're in that room down the hall and they're ready to start talking to you, what do you want to know? What would be great if you come out of that meeting knowing about them? Bill?
I want to hear them tell me about how they are a Christian.
I see. There's some things you want to know about their conversion. And if you'll notice the second question in a minute, there's some things that we feel are sort of essential. That's going to fall under that category. This is good. I want to know something about their relationship with Christ, how they were converted, that part of it in particular. What else do we want to know, Jason?
If they live locally, you really want to know why they want to come here other than why they're leaving where they are.
Right.
There's not baggage that's coming.
Yeah, because you're going to get a lot of different situations. You're going to get people to move from somewhere else. And yet, where they live might suggest there's some other options that they have. But if they live in the Atlanta area for a while, we have those who are placing membership who've been members somewhere else. And so it's not just why here, it's also maybe why not there, you know? What happened before? And again, this second question isn't so relevant for somebody who's moved from out of town, somewhere close to here, have started worshiping with us from the beginning. The reason it's not somewhere else, why not there, is because they moved. They're not visiting.
That's part of Clearos, too. She came from an institution, from a nearby church.
Yeah. So why did she leave that congregation? And especially when it's one of that nature, you want to know, what drew you here? Yep, good. Because if she says some things like, they're not teaching the Bible over there, well, that's an indication of some degree of strength. But on the other hand, if it's just, you know, it's a little longer drive for me, or and that she doesn't see any distinction between them, that's some information that's useful for you. Yes, Danny?
Maybe her goals, like what does she hope to either invest in the work here or maybe what she might think she's going to receive from it.
Right. And you say she just, that could be Cliaros' situation, but these are things we want to know about anybody,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He or she. So the goals here, what it's a little bit back of what's drawing you here, but maybe thinking from a personal standpoint. You can always learn that.
That may not be applicable in this case, but do you want to know about their marriage history?
Marriage history, absolutely. Again, and I'm glad we're not really talking about Cliaros, so we'll just use her every once in a while to make some point. What do you want to know about the marriage?
Have they been married, and if they are divorced, the I guess the circumstances of the divorce?
So, previous history, if you're talking to a couple, you're going to want to know their previous history of both of them. But you know what? You might just be sitting there talking to an individual. What about their current situation? They may be married, and their wife or husband may not be a Christian, but they may be a Christian. They've fallen away. You want to know all that? Yeah, that's a prospect and some other things as well.
So no, I was just going to say family dynamics.
Okay. What are some family dynamics that come to your mind?
Well, if it's a single individual and they're the only one in their family, and they've had this hard life and struggle with their family currently or others, you know.
Yeah, and I think you can even draw that into to a spiritual realm and a physical realm, right? There's
right.
some family dynamics that you want to know about. How far away do their parents live? Do they have issues in trying to deal with them? You know, some sicknesses and things. But also, are they the only Christian in their family? You know, that could be a different kind of dynamic and a challenge for them that you'd like to know. What else is on your mind? What else are you... These are all good.
Their beliefs.
Yeah, I'd love to know a lot about this. We'll come back to just how much you might ask, because that's the next question, how much you're likely to learn on some of that. But there's some basic things that you would like to know, which maybe comes back especially to this first point.
Maybe it's just family dynamics, but the children, the state of the children's faith or spiritual world.
Yeah,
and so, part of family dynamics.
Stuart gave us a few situations there, but you can take it even more broadly, depending on what their family is, but definitely you want to know something about their children. What is another area of life that has a huge effect on this?
Occupation and work.
Yeah, so you got kind of the work environment that they're in, which maybe is part of the reason of how they got to be here. Not necessarily this congregation, but this city, and things like that. Just a lot of things. You can see how the more... Yeah, see?
I was going to say one thing is just really trying to... And a lot of these questions could lead to other questions and good discussion, but really trying to understand what is their relationship with God. And if they are coming from somewhere else, is there anyone that we know or is there anyone perhaps that we could speak with? I think just trying to get a good... fundamental understanding about where they are and their relationship. You know, is there anything maybe when you say why here, why not there? That could be an opportunity to dive deeper into that. But
yeah.
Because they could give a surface level type of answer, but there could be something that's deeper that we need to try to unearth and understand.
Now, I appreciate you mentioning that because here's part of what y'all need to know and you need to think about in regard to the work of elders. Where's the chapter, I didn't refer to it right now, but it'd be helpful if you would remind us of the chapter where it describes what elders are to do when they're first talking to somebody who's placing membership. Remember that verse that kind of goes through the details of that? It's not there, right? So there's an element of judgment that elders have to use to determine... what do we need to know? What are we going to ask in all of that? And one of the things that Steve has pointed out is this is an area, by the way, I think of some degree of judgment, the extent to which we're going to inquire and ask of others about it. We don't ask a lot. I'll just kind of be very frank with you. We're not asking a lot of questions. And we don't typically ask for a letter of recommendation and a number of things like that in regard to... we could do that. And I think it would be perfectly appropriate too. That's kind of a judgment about what you do. What does often happen, though, is kind of somewhat of what I think you're alluding to, Steve, is sometimes in this question about why not there, you learn some things about the situation there that would cause you to think about either inquiring of those individuals there about this person, or we've had a number of situations in which somebody has come to place membership and it was apparent that in leaving, they may have left in a situation in which there could be some bad feelings or some things that still need to be dealt with. And in that case, you want to connect those two together and make sure that something has been properly dealt with. We had one couple that moved here, and the husband had not been faithful at the previous congregation for a good period of time. But with their move was determined and has proven that he meant it and he's done it to be a faithful Christian, to turn his life around, to be what he needed to be here as they had moved from another place. Well, we felt it was very important for the members at that other church to know that about him. That's a change. That's huge. And they were so happy to hear that. So there is oftentimes this need to go back to learn from others. Sometimes you already know a lot about them. Sometimes you don't. Now, Johan?
That's just quick and nice. So when you talk to people about membership, have you ever had to turn somebody away, or by the time that they, by the time they've been here long enough to know that, you know, they shouldn't place membership because there's something...
Let's think about a couple of things that might lead to that, all right? So these were things you'd like to know. It'd be great to know. You may not always hear a lot about that. In fact, a lot of their family dynamics in that meeting and all, you might not have time. You might not learn everything you'd like to know. You want to start forming a relationship. You're going to learn a lot more about that as time goes on. Well, what are some questions that you definitely want to be asking? What do you think we ask?
Marriage.
All right, so there is this marriage question. That's something we are going to ask.
Conversion.
And then the conversion. By the way, how many of you have had to sit in and go through one of those colors? Sitting has gotten... I've been grandfathered in like... Why they let me here, I
have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. These are important, and they can lead to what you're talking about. So in regard to conversion, what we tend to ask, and have just kind of learned this a little bit over a period of time, is we don't ask a question like, tell us when you were baptized. What might be a danger of just simply asking, when were you baptized?
Everybody
gets baptized in some way or another. Oh, I was 12. You know, I was this. Okay, well, I was never baptized. Great. But they may have had no idea of what baptism was for, of the true nature of conversion. And we've had individuals who have described their conversion in a way that you thought about, that doesn't seem to fit the biblical pattern at all. So it's more of a teaching moment. It wasn't time to place membership. It was time to learn about the greatest relationship is the relationship that you have with Christ. What do you want to know? You've said some things that you'd like to know about your marriage. We ask everyone... to ask about their marriage situation if we don't already know it for absolute certainty. And what we're looking for is if they've been married before, what the situation was there. Some of that, well, there's a couple of reasons, but I would say the most important reason for asking that question is a morality question. What if those two individuals, as you're listening to them, have described a situation which sounds like Matthew 19 and Matthew 5, where if you marry another, you are committing adultery. Then, well, they're standing there before you, and they're guilty of what? Adultery. It needs to be dealt with right then, for their sake. It's really not about placing membership. It's about their moral situation. Which is, by the way, some of the things that you're trying to learn from their family dynamics, work environment, their relationships, and other things. Are there, you know, sort of some other moral issues that might come to light? What are they struggling with? Now, we can ask that. We can ask that right there in the meeting. What are your moral issues? What are you doing wrong that we need to know about right now? You're not going to get a lot of real answers about that. But you do want to kind of introduce the fact that here's the responsibility of elders. We're accountable for your soul. We want to know about the things that you're struggling with. And it may be just some things like your family dynamics, that you're being drawn out of town to deal with a sick parent constantly. That has an effect on your service to God. But it could be that there's some other moral issues out there as well.
So, Russ, I remember when I was asked that question 15 years ago by Sewell, and some of y'all were out there, too, and I remember thinking, well, I guess you're looking out for the flock, and there are other things I can do to be a bad influence, but I didn't realize at the time that really they were concerned with the greater question about where the moral.
And this is one of those flock sheep issues, right? Because at the same time, you're also thinking about protecting the flock, that if somebody has come in and is a clear sinner, they're living in sin, things need to be dealt with, and you're exposing the congregation to something, and that's dangerous as well. But, you know, there's also kind of a sheep issue here. And I'll tell you, sometimes we learn things, and I admitted this to someone the other day. Yeah, a lot of you know Tim Wells, and you know Tim's situation. He would not be uncomfortable in my describing this, but when Tim Wells placed membership here, he told us very clearly that he had struggled with drugs in the past. And had overcome it and was doing fine. Okay, here's a moral issue, potential. But things are okay at the moment. But we should be on high alert, you know? Code orange, whatever. I mean, we need to be paying attention. Well, he fell back into that practice and we didn't catch it until he was like heading off to rehab. There was the opportunity really to stay involved, to pay attention, perhaps keep him from... Now, the end of the story, for those of you who don't know, is a very good story. Overcome that. He's a very important spiritual worker in the New York, upper parts of New York, upstate, where there are very few Christians. Tim was a very fine man, but I think we blew it as elders. Larry wasn't one then, so I'm not accused. But you would like to know this. But marriage, this is a difficult one. And I'll say this, before you go into that meeting, would you like to already know what the answer to that question is going to be? And when we know it, sometimes, you know, I try to tip them off. And so, we're going to ask two questions. You're asking about your conversion, because sometimes I also kind of know I'm not so sure about their conversion either. And I want them thinking about that. Did they know for sure that they really are a Christian? But then the marriage situation is one in which you'd like to know these things up front. Any other questions about folks who place membership? And I'll try to cover some other ground here this morning.
Maybe not a question, but a comment, but they'd be uncomfortable. They've been married before, because you didn't want to know if it's a scripture of divorce or...
Right.
So, probably want to know about that before the meeting as well, but they'll be uncomfortable to ask that, you know, so what's the circumstances?
Well, we're going to ask
it. Check it happened.
And usually what you want to do is you want to be sure that they've got a grasp of Matthew 19, Matthew 5. Because at the end of the day, and I'll just, this again, this is... elder judgment. There's not a place that tells you what you have to figure out and all this. It's been our judgment. We're not going to go do investigations and prove out all the things that they say about this. But what we do want to be sure that they get is whatever situation they describe, that we have a common understanding about Matthew 5 and Matthew 19, and I'm going to come back to what I mean by common understanding, and that they have seen that passage for what it is, and they will make a judgment. They have to stand before God one day and give an account for what they've done. And if in their mind they have done what that scripture describes, which would allow them to be in another marriage without committing adultery, we're not going to go back and investigate and try to figure all that out. But we want to be sure that we have opened ourselves and them up to any kind of teaching. The other thing is, sometimes in those discussions, this comes back to the beliefs and all. You might learn that they don't agree exactly with what we, the elders, agree about what the Bible teaches about marriage and divorce, and maybe even something else as well. So, the fact that they don't have a full agreement with us on that passage, we wouldn't say, well, you can't be a member here. And let's study this until you get it figured out once you're kind of on the same page as us. Because where is our concern? Who are we really focused on the most?
The Lord God.
Well, that's right. That's a better answer than the one I had. Can't beat that. As far as people, members, who are we really focused on?
The weak.
The weak. And here's a weakness. It's something that they need to grab. And we'll explain some differences in that. But do you think that that information, if somebody has a belief that we don't really believe is a full scriptural belief, they're not practicing anything that we know is wrong, but what would we be concerned maybe a little bit beyond just whether they're practicing something?
Whether they teach.
Yeah, whether they're teaching and the influence they have on others. And knowing that might mean that we choose not to use them in certain capacities. It's very, you'd like to have this information. You're not going to get everything you want out of that meeting or even the weeks before, but that's the kind of stuff you like to know, which makes helps you to make some judgments about their involvement with WAP, but also where they need attention and help as an individual.
I think a lot of that, I mean, just going beyond the questions, is really caring about the person.
Yes.
At my grandmother's church, there was a church that was primarily elderly people that they shut the doors and all the members went to other churches. So we got a good number of the elderly people from that church. And a lot of times they felt alienated because people wouldn't get
to know them. Yeah, so go back to, for a moment to Gara's. So you come out of this situation, you've learned all these kinds of things. What do you want to do with all that information? What might we have done with all the stuff we learned from Pliara's kind of coming out of that? What do you think? What did she need right from the beginning?
Some kind of connection.
Connections, yeah, right? Connection. And if you think about it, a number of the things that you have learned in here about family situations or work environment and all of that, it ought to be sort of like ringing bells. Well, I know another member who's in that. Or I know someone who came from the same place or grew up in the same town that you did or went to the same school that you did or has a similar... You're trying to help them to begin to build some connections and try to follow up. So one thing I was... See if this doesn't work, it's Bill Christian's fault. I gave him a shout-out earlier. We'll give him a problem here. Oh, where's my stuff? Come on, man. If I need help, press the question button. Help! I'm just kidding. No, I'm not help. Let's see if it works. I think an important issue is probably me.
I think the camera.
It did.
Yeah.
I was trying to turn it back on.
While that's warming up, I had a question back.
Please
to the marriage
do,
situation.
I really want to keep it here.
I know there's a certain point, you know, at where the conversion is you know flawed, that you would not allow someone to be a member, and you would continue to work with them and encourage them to get their conversion correct. To what extent would you take a married couple who is admitting that they're not meeting the elder's view of an authorized marriage, because one of them is clearly not authorized to be married in that situation, but they're not going to give that up.
Then we would not, if it was clear to us as an unscriptural marriage and they were involved in adultery, we wouldn't do anything with it. I don't see it. You couldn't allow them to be members here. That's part of the protection of the flock. And what you would want to do is establish a teaching opportunity, right?
Right.
I just wanted to spend 1 minute I don't really want you to kind of pay too much attention to some of the things that we've learned off to the right. I couldn't figure out a way to just show the names. These are some names of people who've recently placed membership. This only goes back to last September. Who do you know? Who do you not know? I mean, think about just in the matter of 6 months, these are those we're trying to form a new relationship with. Priya. Sandy is the mother of Kelly Grogan, so that's kind of all in one family, the Grogans who moved from Colorado. Edric and Amy Ben and Julie, who moved here from Ohio. It's a couple she's expecting. Greg and Vicky from a different part of town. Took a long time to decide whether to place membership here. They've got two kids that are here. George Aldridge, an older, elderly man who used to be a member here a long time ago. Craig Robinson's a single young man. George and Jenny, an older couple. Some of these have come out of a little bit of institutional kind of backgrounds in different churches. But others are just from sound churches in the area, like Colin and Ashley had reasons for moving here. Placing membership, Denny, a lot of you know. Michaela James, have you met Michaela? You know who she is. Brent Mann, who is not here a whole lot because he's engaged, and I think being with that potential spouse is kind of taking him away from here. Zach and Destiny Rodriguez, really, you knowing them, Justin Reynolds, and then there are names, quite a few names, just in the 3 or 4 or 5 months before that. You see the challenge? And so in all of these, you want to know the stuff up there, but then you want to think about the relationships that they're forming. It's important for us as elders to be forming a real, true relationship with these individuals. That's a lot of people to get to know in a short period of time. And we're not going to adequately do it. Let's just be clear about that. There are plenty of members already here, issues, things that are being dealt with from an individual basis. And yet, we have agreed somehow to take on responsibility in a matter of 6 months for all of those souls. We need your help. And you need to think oftentimes from the perspective that elders might have in terms of the things that you can do to help out in these situations. Sorry that took for a moment, but I think it's kind of worthwhile to kind of just remind us of the volume and the challenges that kind of exist in that. Yes, you want to do something at the end that begins to be useful to them as they ought to form relationships and things here. And elders are charged in Ephesians 4 with equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body. And for all of those individuals, we should be thinking about how we're going to equip them, help them to begin to make their way into the congregation. Can we move ahead? You okay? You got other questions or thoughts that happen?
I have one, and you can postpone this answer. Right. What if you're going through this process, and you know the general consensus of the eldership is this is going to be a challenging individual or a challenging family to bring in here as far as the investment and the work in, but you get one particular elder that just says this is a bad idea. This is extremely dangerous to the group.
I've never quite had it happen that way, but look down at working with the other elders, which Larry will spend more time talking about. That's kind of one of those unanimous kind of things. We would work to find common ground. What we've never done is that somebody came to place membership and then we sent them out of the room from the board. And then, alright, all in favor. Okay. 2-2. Okay, you know, we gotta figure this out. That's why we need 5 elders. You know, but we're not 3-1, they're in. Now, if there's an issue about that, we're gonna work that through. But what about this idea of recognizing, you know what? They're gonna be trouble. They really are.
Yeah.
Is that a reason to say no? You're out? Oh, boy, we don't need more problems around here, right? We need smooth sailing. Do you say no? Why not?
Paul said, help the weak.
Help the weak. That's the whole thing. It's like, there's your opportunity. That's the one you maybe, in a sense, you kind of welcome the most. That's your work. And yet, you're exactly right. You know it. And there's human nature to think about that. All right, let's go on to some thoughts about benevolence. The reason I'm skipping the doctrinal issues is because we're going to come back to that. We have another place in the material where we'll think about putting together your personal plan. And we'll think through some of the things that you ought to be working on, sort of chewing through, if you will, in terms of some difficult doctrinal issues. And we'll come back to that later. A lot of issues related to benevolence. And again, this is one of those, I think, where you can think of this sheep flock, right? You're first going to think about the individual and their needs, but you also got to be thinking from the perspective of the congregation as a whole. And in particular, what we're talking about here is the use of the Lord's money, which is, it's a collective work of the congregation, right? So on the one hand, you're making a flock decision. Do we help an individual through the use of the treasury here? Well, that becomes a work of the church. That's a work of the flock. And that's, elders are supposed to be responsible for it. But your attention is also on this person, their needs, helping them. And so you see how those two things, it's difficult for us to say, are we talking about sheep, flock, shepherd? Well, I'm not, yeah. And the answer is yes, we're talking about both. Do you look at the 1 Timothy 3, if you can hold on to Titus 1. I hope you've spent a little bit of time thinking about this. What are some of those qualifications that are mentioned about elders that would be useful? Character traits that are helpful if we're going to talk about benevolence.
Say prudent, sober-minded.
Okay, so again, there's some judgment that's going to have to be made here, the ability to make that properly. What else?
Not a lover of money.
Right.
Yeah, so let's say that you are a lover of money. And in your household, man, it's that every last dollar stays. You're very careful, very stingy, not very... Is that going to come over into your dealing with individuals as an elder, you think? Yeah. Well, they don't need that. Well, that's not the way I would live. You know, you start making all those kinds of jokes. But if you're not covetous about money, and that doesn't mean you're a free spender. It just means money, hanging on to it, isn't something of great importance to you. That's a useful thing. How about hospitality? You're a giving kind of person, willing to share, willing to help. I think the gentleness that's implied in those is another good quality. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, though, and that, those women that are mentioned there, the widows, that in some cases the congregation as a whole would take on responsibility for them, and in other cases they would not. There's a number of principles that are kind of mentioned there. What we rarely have is a situation in which someone comes and has needs, and she is a widow about 60 years old who has these specific good works in her past, and you can help and has no other family connections whatsoever, and it's like, you know, check, 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 you're in. Instead, you have lots of other kinds of situations. And by the way, did the church provide for the physical needs of individuals other than widows above the age of 60?
Situationally.
Yes, situationally, but there are scriptural examples of that, right? In fact, quite a few in the book of Acts. And apparently in the first church in Jerusalem, the need was so extensive, you know, just there's just quite a number of members, to the point that people were doing what in order to have enough to provide for them? Selling property and houses and things like that because the need was so great. It went well beyond widows. But in our judgment, the principles of 1 Timothy 5 are extremely useful in making decisions, even in situational circumstances, to allow you to figure out. So what are some principles that might be working there in making those decisions about these widows that we might take and extrapolate and use in a broader way? What do you think?
Spiritually focused.
Alright, so is this a person who's spiritually focused? Now, there were some good works that were mentioned for that widow. You know, if a person is coming with needs and has absolutely no spiritual interest whatsoever, will that have an effect on what we decide to do? It will. Particularly about the use of the church's money, the Lord's money. What other principles might be at play?
It seems like the individual responsibility is the priority. Because it's if you have an individual member.
Yeah, so I wasn't sure what you meant by individual responsibility.
Kind of
exactly right.
At the very end of the right. Murder, is it the elders?
So what you want to do first is to kind of look to see are there other places from which they can have help. And you want their family to be willing to step up and to do something. And so we'll ask those questions when somebody's in need. If you have family. Now, just to be clear, you got to deal with the practical sides of these things. That's why it's a situational thing. They may have family who can help, but they can't help tomorrow. And the need is tomorrow, right? So we may make decisions about helping them today that we wouldn't do as these widows, indeed, however your phrase goes, because those were actually going to be enrolled, and they were going to be cared for on an ongoing, sort of permanent basis. If they had other sources, then you would want to use them. Yeah. I know only one bell's wrong.
Right?
Yes, sir. People slacking off. Okay, that elderly let stuff on this. So you might need to do it right away, but you definitely want it to kind of work. One of our judgments here has been that we should know what their situation really is, and are there some outside sources and things and all that they can do. And this, I think it helps because we try to do this, try to do it on a consistent basis. When somebody has a need, to bring a deacon involved in it and ask the deacon to go and to learn what their financial situation is. There are several things that we want to know. We're not trying to be intrusive. We're not trying to figure out everything. But if they were living in a way in which there were a number of things that they could cut out in terms of their expenses that are unnecessary and all, that kind of goes back to those good works and all. Are they missing the handling of their money in the right way? The other thing is, do you really want to just kind of cut a check and then you're done with the situation? Or would you like to know more about what's causing their struggle? We'd like to. Now, we're not financial advisors. We're not trying to play that role. But it could be that knowledge tells you that this isn't going to solve it. It's going to take more. And we need to be ready to do more if necessary. That's useful information. All right, that's a lot more.
That takes a lot of wisdom and tact to within several of those situations, because people in those situations want help, but they are also keep close to them. They don't want you too involved.
They know. And that's why we get to make deacons, because we have that kind of attack. But some are more capable of it than others, and sometimes we'll say we haven't been ready to do it. But if there's somebody here that you're really comfortable with, tell us who it is, and we'll make a judgment about maybe that's a better person, because it isn't that easy to share since it's needed information, right? Okay, there's more. If you have any hard questions, please save them for Wednesday. Larry can answer all the questions.